Will you turn in your Bibles to 1 John 1, and we shall read the first four verses of this chapter. 1 John 1. And while my wife and I were north to Pennsylvania in August, I stopped at a large, famous bookstore and bought a New King James Version, so it will read more like the book that you have in front of you. 1 John 1, beginning at verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness, and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. May the Lord add His richest blessing to the reading and hearing of His word. What does Jesus look like? Did you ever ponder? Solomon, now of a past age, has endeavored to create for us on canvas the various poses of what he thinks Jesus looked like. In our daughter's bedroom hangs a portrait done by Hook of what he thinks the Lord Jesus Christ looks like. If you go to a church on Riverside Drive in New York City, you will see the original Hoffman drawing of or painting of Christ in Gethsemane. Did your children or grandchildren ever ask you, what does God look like? What does Jesus look like? What answer did you give them? It's about 50 years ago when we introduced a dog into our family. And our son came to me one day and he said, Daddy, why does Puppy walk on all fours and I only walk on two? I paused for a moment and I said to him, Tim, Puppy walks on all fours because God made him that way. Acts 1:11 says, the two angels say to those gathered there on Mount Olivet, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? For this same Jesus, whom you have seen taken up into heaven, shall so come in like manner. I'm sure that the Word of God does not reveal to us that Jesus was any kind of a freak. And by a freak, I mean different than any other man. Probably he wore a beard, because Jewish men in that day wore beards. Maybe he left his hair grow long, for Jewish men left their hair grow long. But as he mingled amongst the people, he was a true man. And I would emphasize that word true. He was all that it meant to be a virile man. The Word of God does not say he was a Casper milk toast or a namby-pamby man. He was all that it meant to be a man. Last Sunday morning, Don sang very beautifully a poem that I had never heard before. And I said to him after the service, I need a copy of that, for it will fit my message for next Sunday morning. Let me read it for you again. I would like to have seen Jesus when he walked by Galilee. I would like to see the hands of him who made the blind to see. Just to look up in his face and see him smile so tenderly. Oh, I'd like to have seen Jesus, for he means so much to me. I would like to have heard Jesus when he said, "Come unto me, ye that labor and are laden, come, and I will set you free." Just to hear his lips speak peace would fill my heart with ecstasy. Oh, I'd like to have seen Jesus, for he means so much to me. But someday I'll be with him and see him face to face. Oh, the joy of that one moment. Will life's cares and trials erase? Yes, someday I will be with him and know as I am known. Oh, what blessed sweet communion when I reach my heavenly home. In the passage before us, John was privileged to see, to handle, to hear, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to have us realize, if we can, in our thinking, what it meant for John to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. We all are acquainted with the word agnostic. I do not know. John had to deal with another creature known as the Gnostics. Someone who claimed to know special secrets others didn't know. They were a cult of knowists. They knew it all. They held what was material was bad, and what was spiritual was good. And if we should take the time to go through the book of 1 John, John has written this book not only to reveal to us that God loves us, and that we ought to love one another as God loves us. But there is a person called Jesus whom he fellowshipped with for approximately 3.5 years. Oh, what a glorious time that must have been. For the 12 disciples to have associated with Jesus. Even though Jesus said to them, the foxes have holes and the birds have their nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. There was nowhere that Jesus called home when Jesus walked into Mary and Martha and Lazarus' home. There were 12 people that followed him, and no wonder Martha needed to hurry up and clean up the kitchen and get supper on the table. Or when Jesus and his disciples walked into Peter's home and found Peter's wife's mother sick with a fever, where he touched her, raised her from her feverish bed, and the word says, and she fed them. 13 extra places at the table. I remember after we had moved from one parish to another, we were back visiting my relatives, and my father turns to my mother and he says, looking at his watch, "Is it too late to stop at the Detweilers?" And she says, "It's about supper time." "Oh," he said, "Ella won't mind." And as we walked up the pavement, Elmer shouts out, "Ella, slice another slice of ham. The Castle's just walked in." That's the atmosphere I painted for you. That's the atmosphere that John lived with. And he lived with this for 3.5 years. In the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fellowship with him. Now, first of all, I would have you notice John's declaration of this wonderful Jesus. He says he's from the beginning. And our Bibles begin, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And whenever I read that verse, I think to myself, and sometimes I even say it from the pulpit or in the group where I am teaching, in the beginning, whatever that means. For we have no comprehension of what it means when God says, "In the beginning, God created." But we do know that God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, the triune God, was present when God flung the planets into space, when he made the Garden of Eden in its beauty and its fruitfulness. God, the God of the Trinity, was there present. And John, as he remembers, probably on one of the islands off of Asia Minor, where he writes, "In the beginning, that which was from the beginning." Turn with me to John 1, please. The Gospel of John, the first chapter, where we read, "In the beginning was the Word," and we'll not go into we will assume that the word "Word" means Jesus. In the beginning, again we have in the beginning, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. He is from the beginning. This one whom John associated with, this one which we will end up, this one who fellowshipped with Jesus. Secondly, He is not only from the beginning, He is heard. He is heard. I'm sure that many more words were spoken by Jesus than we have record in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But we have the record of what Jesus said on that beautiful Sermon on the Mount. This one whom John fellowshipped with spoke forth, and He says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall see God," and so forth down through 5, 6, and 7 of the book of Matthew. And then will you turn with me to the book of Matthew 16, beginning at verse 13. Matthew 16. Beginning at verse 13. I would have you notice the context is a private context where Jesus is with His disciples. He's having fellowship with His disciples. The unbelieving Pharisees and Sadducees and Herodians are not there. He's having a private conversation with His disciples. Listen as I read. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but My Father which is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build My church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." A private conversation that Jesus had with His disciples. And He tells Peter, "You didn't think this up in the statement you made, but My Father has given it to you." F.F. Bruce, of a past generation of Scottish writers and preachers, has produced, and I believe it's out of print now, The Training of the Twelve. And I'm reminded of this. For Jesus, in His 3.5 years of ministry to His disciples, He trains them to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. He is seen, John says. He didn't hide himself. He was alone with his Father early in the morning in prayer, we read. But they milled about him. They crowded about him. He didn't tell them. He didn't dismiss the crowd. But he welcomed them to come. Will you turn with me to the book of Luke, Luke 5. Beginning at verse 1. It was as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. We'll not read any further. But the multitude there on the shore gave Jesus a platform, gave him a pulpit out of a boat to be able to minister to the multitudes. John says, I saw him in the Mount of Transfiguration. Oh, what a day that must have been. And I often pondered why Jesus just took Peter, James, and John up into the Mount. If you have an answer, if you have a reason, tell me sometime. But Peter, James, and John saw Jesus transfigured before them, where his countenance became bright, his clothing became bright, and a voice comes out of heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Peter is beside himself. And he says, Master, it's good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elijah. And the gospel writer says Peter didn't know what he was talking about. And John also in his first epistle says, my hands have handled him. Think of those intimate times when Jesus and his disciples were together. When maybe someone poured water on his hands to wash his hands before they ate. Not pharisaically, but just to cleanse them as you and I would cleanse them. There must have been some jostling amongst the 13 as they walked down the road. And John says, I've handled him. I've touched him. And this went on for 3.5 years. John makes his declaration that he's from the beginning, he's been heard, he's been seen, he's been looked upon, he's been handled. But why? Why does John bring this to our attention? First of all, he's seen in salvation. John says, this one who has been from the beginning, whom I have seen, whom I've heard, whom I've touched, is our Savior. Yes, He's our Savior. The only one who could be our Savior. The sinless, spotless Lamb of God. I go back to Exodus 12, where the Passover sacrificial lamb was taken aside. It was to be without spot and without blemish. And the Lord Jesus Christ, God's gift for us in salvation, is the one that John fellowshiped with, and the one who was seen on Calvary's cross, battered, bruised, tormented, crowned with thorns. He is our Savior. And as John points to us the various factors that He is from the beginning, that He is heard, He is seen, He is looked upon, He is handled. Yes, we bear witness in our lives that there was a person like the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth. The historians record that there was a man called Jesus. Yes, even though the calendar men had difficulty with before Christ and after Christ, and they're trying to initiate the common era, still, this man whom John saw changed our calendars. It was the events that took place before Christ's birth and the events that take place since Christ's birth. Oh, yes. The calendar men again have had problems. And if it all works down, Christ was born 6 years before He was supposed to be born. Because the calendar is all out of whack. Let that be as it may. But this one whom John saw, he says, notice, the eternal life is in the Son. Let's notice it again, please. Which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. Eternal life is in the Son. And with the Father, as I read to you from John 1:1, and let's go back to that particular passage again, please, if you will. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of man. The Word with the Father Now, what's the outcome of this declaration that John has made? We have seen and heard. With the eye of faith, we have seen Jesus. In John 14, Philip comes to Jesus and he says, "Show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. It will suffice us." And Jesus says, "If ye have seen me, ye have seen the Father." Another outcome of this declaration, John calls us to fellowship with him and with the Father and the Son. Notice 1 John again. Verse 3, "That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us." That's with John. "And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And," verse 4, "and these things we write to you that your joy may be full." I have a footnote. "That our joy may be full." John says, my joy and your joy may be full. I ask you this morning, first of all, are you in fellowship with God and with the Son and with John and with one another? That's the pinpoint of my message this morning. We've just developed who this is that we are to have fellowship with. The Lord Jesus Christ. And John says, I've seen him, I've touched him, I've heard him, I've had fellowship with him, and I call you to have fellowship with me. And that our joy may be full. How's your joy cup this morning? Is it full? Is it overflowing? Not the joy cup of a Cheshire cat, you know. How are you? Oh, I'm fine. But the joy of fellowship with God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. John calls us to fellowship. And then will you turn with me in closing to John 10:10. Notice the context. We're breaking the context of Christ's teaching concerning the good shepherd who giveth his life for the sheep. But in contrast, verse 10 says, "And the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly." Abundant. How are you? Well, I'm pretty good under the circumstances. You've got no place under the circumstance. God has called us to fellowship with Him, and God has called us to life. And God has called us to abundant life. I ask you in closing, are you living the abundant life? Maybe you're out of fellowship with God and with the Son and with the Holy Spirit. And you're just existing. You're not living. And you're not living the abundant life. I challenge you from the words of 1 John, where John says, This one who is from the beginning, whom I have seen, whom I've heard, whom I've touched, whom I've had fellowship with, I call you to fellowship with me. And with the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that your joy may be full. Father, thank you this morning for the challenge of thy word. Oh, Father, if we have lost the joy of our salvation, restore unto us the joy of thy salvation. Lord, if there's sin in our lives that hinders our fellowship with you and with the Son and with the Holy Spirit, oh Lord, forgive us. Forgive me where I have sinned. Lord, thank you for the fellowship that we can have, for the joy that we can have. And Lord, thank you that your Son has come to give us life and to give us abundant life. Father, dismiss us with thy blessing. Be with us through the day. Return us, Lord, this evening to again worship.